Okay, let's give it a go. I had thought actually to look again at Parsha Shmini, which we read yesterday, of course, in light of the last shiur that we delivered. I know it seems like a million years ago, pre-Pesach, seems like a world ago, but the last shiur that we learned together, we discussed really the first pasuk in Parsha Shmini, which is Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. And if you recall, the importance of that day was timely then, because Vayhi Bayom HaShmini was the eighth day, and Rashi pointed out it was Shmini Lemiluim. It was the eighth day of the assembling and disassembling of the Mishkan. And on this day, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was the final day that no longer would the Mishkan be assembled and disassembled, but rather it would be completed and it would be kept up forever. And this Vayhi Bayom HaShmini that we read about in Parsha Shmini is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So this is the day, the important day, the auspicious day, as I noted then, one of the most auspicious, if not the most auspicious day on the calendar, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Not only was it the day that the Mishkan was erected, not only was it the day that the korban of the Nisiim were offered, the first of the Nisiim, Nachshon ben Aminadab leShevet Yehuda, brought the first of the korbanos of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It was the first time that Aaron HaKohen duchened Birchas Kohanim, and it was really the most critical day, most important day. So we're talking now year two since Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That was the pasuk in Parshas Pekudei. And Parsha Shmini speaks about the avoda of this very first day, the inauguration of the Mishkan. And if you recall, I referred you to the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Oso Hayom, this very day, Yom Hashmini, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Natal Eser Ataros." There were 10 firsts. There were 10 crowns that the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan was given. Rishon L'Maaseh Bereishis. That year, the second year since we left Mitzrayim, was the first day of the week. It was a Sunday. So it was Rishon L'Maaseh Bereishis. Rishon L'Nisiim. It was the first offering of the korbanos of the Nisiim, as I just noted. Nachshon Ben Aminadab brought the korban Nisiim. Rishon L'Kehuna. It was the first time Aaron HaKohen did the avoda in the Mishkan. Rishon Lavoda, Rishon Liridas Ha'esh, it was the first time the Esh, the flame of Shemaim, came down and consumed the Karbanos. Rishon Achilas Kachim was the first time the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen Ubanav, ate the Kachim. Rishon Lishchon Shechina was the first time that the Shechina came down, rested its presence on the Mishkan. Rishon Levaraches Yisrael was the first time Aaron HaKohen blessed the Jewish people. Rishon Le'Isser Bamos, Rishon LeChadash was the first month of the Jewish year. Rishon Midrash Yarech was the first day of the new month. So therefore, this day, Vayhi Bayosh HaMashmini, was a very significant day. And I pointed out to you that there's an explicit pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, which refers to it as Bayom, Hayom, the day. And here in Parshas Shmini, it's Bayom HaShmini, really speaking in very explicit terms. And then later in Parshas Naso, again, we reference this very day as the beginning of the 12 days where the Nisim brought the Karbanos. And that was the reason then that I explained that the first 12 days of the month of Nisan are very, very holy, the first of which being Rosh Chodesh, and then there's no Tachanun, which concludes today the end of Nisan. So really we are in a complete circle, starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now we complete Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and I want to take a look again at this Parsha, Parsha Shmini, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, and appreciate what is really happening in this Parsha, and specifically in this chapter, Perek Tes, where the inauguration of the Mishkan takes place. So if you really look at it from a historical perspective, and sometimes we get lost when we read the Parshios week by week in terms of picking up the timeline of what's happening, this is everything we've been waiting for as the Jewish people. Meaning, we leave Mitzrayim. We're in Shibud Mitzrayim. We're subjugated to Paro. We finally leave Mitzrayim. There's Kriyas Yamsuf. There's Matan Torah. We leave, ultimately, and we reach the Midbar. And finally, ultimately, is Binyan HaMishkan. But Binyan HaMishkan is not enough, because that takes us to the end of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, Trumat Tetzaveh. We need to actually be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch in the Mishkan. And here finally in Sefer Vayikra, Parsha Shmini, Klal Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 1 year and change out from Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim, the Mishkan is finally erected. Now, of course, this is not the end of the story, because Sefer Bamidbar will be Klal Yisrael's entry and long, long journey, the 40-year journey to get to Eretz Yisrael. But certainly, Binyan HaMishkan, Avodas HaMishkan, is a critical step in the journey of Klal Yisrael, attaining their special, unique devotion and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, with all of the simcha, the joy, the ecstasy, the special aspect and nature of this very day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there seems to be a backstory. And it's the backstory that I like to share with you today, or what I would call a subplot. And it's the subplot that's not really discussed, spoken about, or even articulated. But I'd like to show you very carefully and conscientiously that in this parsha, although it's a great day, and as I pointed out, arguably the greatest day, and it seems that way in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's something else happening that's almost ominous, that's gray, that's looming on this very day, that's not really writ large in the text of the Torah. But if you read Parsha Shmini carefully, and if you understand what's happening, a careful analysis and a reading of the Psukim seems to indicate that there's really a dichotomy of Simcha and Tsar on this day. And the hint to this subplot can be found in the first word in the Parsha. What's the first word in the Parsha? Parsha Shmini? The word is Vayehi. Now, if you know anything in Tanakh, the word Vayehi is a word of ominous. It's a word of gloom. It's a word that portends danger. It's a word that speaks to potential disaster. Of course, the most famous Vayehi that you might know, Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh. And the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh Amar Rebbe Levi, V'item Rebbe Yonasan, Davar Zeh, the following thing, Misores B'yadein, was a tradition from Chazal, from the great rabbis, Me'anshei Knesset Agdola, dating back even further to the Anshei Knesset Agdola between Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. Kol Makom Shenemer Vayehi. Any time in Tanakh that you see and read the word Vayehi, Eino Ela Lashon Tsar. The word Vayehi is indicative of pain, of agony, of suffering, of challenge, of trial, of tribulation, of death, of sickness, of very, very significant portending of danger that's looming ahead. And the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Amud Beis gives us multiple examples throughout Tanakh where you see this. Number one, numero uno, most famous, of course, Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh. Number two, Vayehi Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, the psukim in Sefer Rus, the opening of all of Sefer Rus, what's going to happen, the terrible drought, the famine that's going to take place, that's going to cause Naomi to leave Eretz Yisrael. Vayehi Ki Heichel HaAdam LaRov, Sefer Bereishis, the opening of all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that is a portending of the danger of the terrible things that are going to take place. And the Torah goes on, the Gemara goes on to tell us other examples. Vayehi ishecha min ha-ramasayim tzofim. Vayehi ki zaken shmuel v'lehalchu banav b'drachav. Vayehi david l'chol drachav maskil. Vayehi ki yashav ha-melech b'beiso. And the Gemara goes on and on to tell us that vayehi is a very, very significant word. So if that's the case, vayehi b'yom ha-shmini also has to be understood. If vayehi is portending danger and an ominous future, how do we understand Vayehi b'yom ha-shmini in light of the Gemara Maseches Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin, in light of the facts that we know that this is the most significant day on the Jewish calendar? So much so that the Pasuk in Parshas Pekudei says, Bayom, it was that day. What greater day can there be in Jewish history than the day that the inauguration of the Mishkan? So you know who asks this question? The Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Yudam Beis asks this question. It says, how could it be Vayehi portends negativity, sadness, agony, pain, trial, and tribulation? Vayehi Bimei Hashmini. The Torah tells us it was on that eighth day, and the eighth day was not al Asara Ataros. It's the happiest day. Vitanya, the Gemara says, Oso Hayom Haisa Simcha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was the glad day. It was a happy day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in such ecstasy because finally his people had a home for him and the people would be able to serve him. Ki yom shenivru bo shamayim va'aretz, it was as great as the day of the creation of heaven and earth.
How do we understand Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, the ecstasy, the joy, the happiness of the day, in light of the fact that the Torah uses the word Vayhi, which seemingly is only used when it's portending an ominous event? So the Gemara answers this question. The Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Amud Beis says, do you know what happened on this day? Hashchiv Nadav Ve'Aviu. This day of Yom HaShmini, the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, the day that the Karbanos were offered, the day of Hashras HaShchina, that very day was the same day as the death of Nadav Ve'Aviu. Thus the subplot in Parsha Shmini begins to unfold. Vayihi Bayom HaShmini was on that very day, that it's the happiest day, the greatest day, the most joyous day. God was so happy as if the heavens and earth were created. It was the day of Hashras HaShchina, the day of Karvas HaKabanos, the day of Birchas Kohanim. But on that very same day was still Vayihi. There was still some level of pain and suffering, of agony, because the death of the two sons of Aaron took place. Now this year, more than ever, I began to appreciate something which I think we've spoken about in years past and something that we always consider, but it hit me much, much more this year. You know, we talk about Aaron's reaction to the death of his sons, and we speak on great, great accolades of how Aaron HaKohen was able to accept the death of his sons, and we'll speak about it a little bit more today. But now think for a moment how Aaron felt in light of everything that was going on. It was such a joyous day. It was such a happy day. It was the day that a Kaviyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. No different than Matan Torah, Binyan HaMishkan was the day of all days. And it's on that very day that the death of his two sons takes place. And his acceptance of their death is nothing short of fantastic, is nothing short of incredible. It's not just that his two sons died. His two sons died on the happiest day of the year, on the happiest day on the Jewish calendar, on a day that was different than any other. And then it hit me even more. You know, we were away, the end of Yontif. So I don't know if you've ever had experience. So you go away and you're having a wonderful, wonderful time. And then the following thing happened. The last day, so we were scheduled to do a little outing with the children. So my in-laws are wonderful, and they set up a very nice trip for all the kids. They rented an area where all the cousins can go together in a tsanua way to do some sort of water stuff, and they rented a whole little section for the kids to go. And lo and behold, my father-in-law tells my mother, our appointment is 11:50. And we get there, and to everybody's surprise, and I use that word very kindly, it turned out that the appointment was 11 to 11:50, but not 11:50 to whatever, 12:30. So you can imagine, you know, 23 little cousins together who were excited to do their activity. It was disappointing. And there was a certain level of, even for the parents also, like, you know, it's the final day of the trip. This is what's going to happen. And it almost defined the whole trip that we couldn't do this. Like the kids, you could imagine, 10, 11, 7, 8-year-olds, teenagers, like, oh, this is so exciting. It almost defines the whole week and the whole Chol HaMoed and the whole Yontif. So now it hit me as we read Parsha Shmini like a gazillion times, right, throughout the last few weeks. But it hit me, this is Aaron HaKohen's godless. That even in the most joyous, exciting time, the most terrible, painful thing didn't impact at all what was taking place in that day. It's very, very difficult to be hit hard with something and not allow it to affect you and everything else that's taking place. It's very hard. So much so, like I said, that incident and that episode on the last day of our trip sort of defined the whole trip. Oh, we didn't make it. That wasn't good either. And then we missed doing that. It sort of brings out everything. So Aaron HaKohen didn't allow that enormous challenge. And it's not just he didn't get to go to the water park. We're talking about the death of his two sons. And that's why I say it's a subplot. Because Parsha Shmini, you see almost nothing of Aaron's pain, his challenge, his suffering, his disappointment, his anger. What, of course, is Aaron's response, as we'll see momentarily inside? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. And of course, this silence is not a silence of apathy. It's not a silence of, I have nothing else to do. I have nothing to say. We're talking about Aaron HaKohen. It was Aaron's day. Aaron was his day of inauguration. You know, we're talking about January 20th, right? Is that what the day when the president is inaugurated? Imagine on that day if sort of the tables would turn in such a tragic way. How do you think the president, it's his day, it's the day of inaugurations of all the parties, of all the banquets, of all of the hoopla of the day. And then that happens, Vayidom Aaron. It's not simply a silence of nothingness, but it's a silence of power. That's the subplot that's taking place on this day. So even though it is the greatest day, and even though it's the happiest day, and even though these 10 firsts all took place, nonetheless, the first pasuk in the parasha of Vayihi is hinting to something and a portending that's taking place. But as I would like to share with you now, you'll see that this is not the only challenge that Aaron faced on that day. And again, put it in light of the inauguration of the president, the first day of the presidency. And sort of let's put ourselves into the life of Aaron. This is something that he and his family have been preparing for, right? It's the second year. Let's say Shmei Yisrael Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, when you're going to leave Mitzrayim, you're going to go to Matan Torah. From Matan Torah, there's going to be a Mishkan. We read about in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakal Pukute, five Parshios. Really the lion's share of Sefer Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing Aaron for this day. And all of a sudden, read with me as I share with you and show you the subplot on the inauguration of the day of the Mishkan, the happiest day of the year. Aaron struggles mightily with enormous challenges that again are hinted to and that are not clear in the text, but are not writ large in the text, but rather are pointing to us. Let me share with you four specific examples, the first of which I just shared with you. But if you take a look on page 588 in the Art School Stone, Chumash Perek Tes, chapter 9, and look at the following Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, Krav el hamizbeach ve'aseh eschatoscha ve'solosecha ve'chaper ba'adcha v'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach and offer and bring the following Karban Chatas, the Ola, v'chaper ba'adcha, and atone for the nation at large. Now, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu prepared Aaron for this very special, unique, important day, but the question that needs to be understood in this pasuk, and Rashi already notes it, as does the Ramban, why is Aaron HaKohen being told by Moshe, Krav el HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach? You know, imagine for a moment you have a package that comes. So inside the package there are instructions. Instructions tell you A, B, C, D, all the steps. The first instruction is not come close to the package and open it up. We know that. The instructions are take out the pieces, put the pieces together. So Moshe shouldn't have to tell Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach. That's not something, and it's not an instruction that's necessary. What happened? The indication is, and Rashi makes this point, as does the Ramban, that Aaron became paralyzed. Not, of course, physically, but emotionally. Aaron got stage fright. It's as if the president got up to speak in front of millions of people on Inauguration Day, and all of a sudden the lips were sealed and wasn't able to talk. So much so that Moshe Rabbeinu had to go over to Aaron and push Aaron and say, Aaron, this is it. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We've been waiting for this forever. Come close to the Mizbeach. Now's your opportunity. Now's your chance. Now's the time for you to shine. Come close to the Mizbeach and offer the Karbanos. And the question is, why is Aaron paralyzed? What happened? Why did Aaron begin to stutter? Why was he handicapped? Why was he all of a sudden handcuffed? What happened? Take a look in Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin. Shai Aaron Bosh. Aaron was embarrassed. V'yorei Lageshas. He was frightened to approach the Mishkan. Frightened to approach the Mizbeach. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe said to him, Lama ta Bosh? What are you so embarrassed about, Aaron? Lekach Nivcharta. This is why you have been chosen.
But the Ramban says we know why Aaron was embarrassed. Do you know what happened? When Aaron came closer and closer to the Mizbeach, he saw the corners of the Mizbeach, and do you know what it reminded him of? The Egel Hazav. It looked like the Egel. It looked like the Karne, or the Karnayim, the horns of the Egel. And Aaron all of a sudden got trapped, got caught in a remembrance. And his memory got so caught up in what was and what occurred less than a year ago when he was involved in the chait of the Egel, and Aaron became silent. And Aaron was unable to move forward. He needed Moshe Rabbeinu's cajoling. He needed Moshe Rabbeinu's encouragement. He needed Moshe Rabbeinu's emotional support. He needed Moshe Rabbeinu to push him, to encourage him, to coax him along. So here it is, the first challenge of the day, the happiest, most joyous, special, unique day. Aaron's day to shine, but Aaron all of a sudden becomes paralyzed, handicapped, handcuffed, as his mind and his emotions become overwhelmed, trapped in the events of close to a year ago with the Egel Hazav. But the story doesn't end there. If you turn to page 590, Pasuk Chav Gimel, in Perek Tes, the same thing occurs again at the end, as Aaron begins to do the Avoda in the Mishkan. The Torah tells us the following thing. Take a look in Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayisa Aaron es yado el ha'am. Aaron raises his hands to the nation. Vayivarche. Of course, that's Birchas Kohanim. Right? Remember, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that Pezayin Mebeis, one of the most unique, special aspects of the day, was it's the first time Aaron Duchend, Aaron HaKohen, Birchas Kohanim takes place. Vayered me'asos ha'chatos ve'olah v'shlamim. Aaron has done everything. He's offered the chatos, the olah, the shlamim. He's blessed the people. The Shechina has been shoreh. And then Pasuk Chav Gimel, something happens. Vayavo Moshe ve'Aaron el ohel moed. Moshe and Aaron enter the ohel moed. Vayetsu. And they leave the ohel moed. Vayivorchu es ha'am. And they bless the nation. Vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. And the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests upon the people. And Rashi questions, if you take a look throughout Perek Tes, all of chapter 9, the first 23 psukim, who is the hero of the day? Who is the main focus of the day? Of course, it's Aaron. It's Aaron's day. It's his inauguration. It's the inauguration of the Mishkan. Where does Moshe come from? What's Moshe doing here? Moshe started by cajoling, coaxing, pushing Aaron to do what he had to do. But Aaron is the Kohen. It's Aaron's job. What happens here all the way at the end that the Torah tells us, Vayavo Moshe ve'Aharon. And then Vayivoruchu Esam, they bless. It's supposed to be Aaron's job. Moshe man dakar shmei. What's Moshe doing? And why is Moshe here? Moshe doesn't belong. Moshe's not part of the mix. If you take a look at Rashi in the first column, Rashi asks this question, and Rashi says, Lama nichnas Moshe Aaron? Why did Moshe enter with Aaron? This is not Moshe's place. This is Aaron's turn. This is Aaron HaKohen's day. It's his opportunity to do all the avoda. So listen, Rashi has two answers, but I'll share with you Rashi's second answers. Holy Marata, Lama Nichnas Moshe Aaron. Do you want to know why Moshe entered with Aaron? Kevan Shira Aaron Shikirbu Kol Har Karbanos. Aaron saw that he brought the Ola. He brought the Chatas. He brought the Shlam. He brought all the Karbanos. Vinasu Kol Hamaisim. He did everything he was supposed to do to the T. He followed the instructions, the details, the minutia. Everything he was supposed to do, v'lo yarda shechina liyisrael hayemitztayer. He saw that the shechina didn't yet rest. The presence, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not yet rest. On the Mishkan, hayemitztayer, he became sad, just like he was sad in the beginning in Pasuk Zion, because he was nervous, he was concerned that he did something wrong with the Egel Hazav. Again, Aaron got nervous. What did I do? Maybe I'm challenged. Maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Maybe it's because of what I did again at the Egel. V'amar yodei ani shekos HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai, says Rashi, I know that God is angry, upset with me. U'bishvili lo yarda shechina zot, and it's because of me that the Shechina hasn't rested its glory on the Jewish people. Amar lo l'Moshe, Aaron turns to his brother Moshe. Moshe achi kach asisa li, shenichnastim v'spayashti, I'm so embarrassed.
I can't believe it. This is the day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, not the Lasara Ataros. I'm supposed to bring the Korban, the Ola, the Chata Shlam, and the Birchas Kohanim. And the Shechina still hasn't rested. That's what everybody's waiting for. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the happiest, most joyous day. Ki Yom Shnivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. I'm so embarrassed. Miyad Nichnas Moshe Imo. Moshe entered with Aaron. Ubikshu Rachamim. And Moshe asked, Davind for Rachamim, V'yardo Shechina li'Yisrael, and finally the Shechina, the presence, rested. The glory, the Kavod Hashem, the glory of a Kadosh Baruch Hu rested on the Mishkan and on the Jewish people. So you talk about a great day. You talk about a happy day. You talk about the most phenomenal day, the most joyous day in Jewish history, on the Jewish calendar, and all of Tanakh. There's a subplot taking place. Aaron HaKohen doesn't have it so easy on Inauguration Day. It's not peachy. It's not just so easy. But Aaron, as we've seen already, has two challenges that he faces. Number one, he's handcuffed, handicapped. He's unable, frightened, scared to approach the Mizbeach because maybe his past is defining him. Maybe as a result of his involvement in the Egel Hazav, maybe he's not the right one for the office of the Kohen Gadol. And again, it happens at the end of the Avodah, Perek and Pasuk Chav Gimel, when again Aaron HaKohen sees that the Shechin is not being Yoreid. Maybe again it's my fault. Nichnasti v'nis bayashti. I entered the Holy of Holies. I've entered Lifnayim Lifnim into the Almoid, and nothing is happening. The Shechin is not being Yoreid. The Esh is not coming down in Hashemayim. And he needs his brother to help him. But let's continue. And if you turn to page 592, Perek Yud, Parsha Shmini, Pasuk Aleph, of course, piggybacking on the very same day, as the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Dav Yud Amud Beis, you know what else happened on that day? Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav ve'aviu ish machtas avitu ben esh. Vayasimu aleha kitores. Vayakriv v'nei esh zara shalot zivosam. Vateitze esh melifnei Hashem v'tochol osam v'yamus lifnei Hashem. Juxtaposed within the same breath of Aaron being embarrassed, of the Shechina not being Shoreh, of Aaron being unable to proceed to move forward the Avodah, his two sons, who are not commanded to offer, to bring a Korban, are taken as a result of their activity, as a result of doing something that they were not commanded to do, bringing an Esh Zara, bringing a flame that was foreign, not doing what they were supposed to do, not commanded in the Avodah as Aaron their father was, and they are taken away, they are murdered, they are eaten and swallowed alive by this flame, by this fire. And of course, Aaron's reaction, as we saw, Vayidom Aaron, as the Pasuk tells us, Aaron is silent, Aaron is quiet. He's trying not to allow the happiest day to be marred by the death of his two sons, not to change the general ecstasy of the day, the joy of the day, the happiest day, and the simcha of Bnei Yisrael, let's say Bnei Yisrael, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Bashana Hashenis, Aaron HaKohen, carefully and very, very uniquely, singularly, is able to overcome this challenge on this great day. But let me share with you a final event that takes place on this day. This is what I discussed in my drasha on Thursday, and I won't go into it at length, but it's so critical. The story continues. On the very same day, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, still Rosh Chodesh Nisan, still the day of the Avodah, of the inauguration of the Mishkan. Take a look on page 594, toward the bottom of the page. The Torah tells us, again, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes Zayin, V'Seir HaChatas, Dorash, Moshe, V'Hine Saraf. Now, as I noted in the Drasha, this Pasuk is subject to enormous Talmudic discussion. The Gemara Maseches Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph goes to great lengths to describe and to explain this pasuk and the ensuing psukim. What does it mean, Dorash Moshe? By the way, it's the name of Ramosha Feinstein's Sefer Al HaTorah. Dorash Moshe. But here, Dorash Moshe has some very, very challenging questions that Moshe Rabbeinu poses to his brother Aaron. And Rashi tells us, Dorash, Shtei Drishos. Moshe Rabbeinu inquired two things about Aaron. Mipnei manisrav zeh, mipnei manochlu elu.
says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Meseches Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu challenges Aaron, because do you know what just occurred? Moshe says to Aaron, your two sons have just died. That places you in the status of an onen, aninus. We're all familiar, an onen is the status of one in between the responsibility of burying one of the Shiva Krovim. Between death and burial, a Jew has the halachic status of an onen for any of the seven Krovim. And bizman hazeh, aninus means that one is prohibited from engaging in mitzvos. You can't eat meat, you can't drink wine, etc. But bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, do you know what it meant? An onen was prohibited from not just drinking wine, but was prohibited from eating the karbanos. The pasuk tells us, lo achalti be'oni mimenu. An onen is prohibited from eating the karban. So what does Aaron do? Aaron is now an onen. On the greatest day, on the inauguration of the Mishkan, on the day where he has been chosen to serve as the Kohen Gadol, he's now an onen. Talk about chances, right? Or talk about hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that Aaron's most special day, the happiest day on the calendar, Aaron is going to be an onen. And he's prohibited from eating the karbanos. But it's not so simple, because there are three karbanos that are supposed to be brought that day. There's the special karban of Rosh Chodesh, the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh. There's the special Sayer of Nachshon ben Aminadav that we just discussed. Nachshon ben Aminadav was the chief, the Nasiv Shevet Yehuda. That was the second korban that was supposed to be brought. There's the third korban, the miluim, the inauguration, the special inauguration that was taking place that day. And Aaron and Moshe engaged in a very heated debate. Is Aaron permitted to eat from the korbanos today or not? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's true, Aaron, you're an onen. But you know what today is? Today is Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's the inauguration of the Mishkan. It's the happiest day. It's the most joyous day. Ki Yom Shnivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. You're commanded, you're required to eat. What's Aaron going to do? This is Aaron. Think for a moment. This is the Aaron who needs his brother's help. He needs his brother to coax him, to encourage him, to bring him to the Mizbeach. He needs his brother Moshe to help him allow the Shekhinah to be yored. This is this brother who's helped him today. And you know what Aaron does? Aaron speaks back to Moshe. And Aaron says, no, you got it all wrong, Moshe. Maybe you misheard. Maybe you misunderstood what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you. I'm not supposed to eat the karbanos today. I'm only supposed to eat two out of the three karbanos. The karbanos that are referred to as Katshei Shah, the unique karbanos of the day, the karban of Nachshon ben Aminadav, the karban Hamiluim, the special karbanos unique to Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the inauguration of the Mishkan, those I'm commanded to eat. But the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh, which is called Katshei Doros, which is always going to be offered, I'm an onen, I'm prohibited. So this is how I think some explain the first debate between Moshe and Aaron, the first time you see Torah Shebal Peh, a machlokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Abaye, and Rava. You have a machlokes, Moshe and Aaron. Who's right? Take a look, the last pasuk in Perek Yud, page 596, Perek Yud, pasuk Chav. Vayishma Moshe vayita be'enav. Moshe hears Aaron's argument and he is placated. He satisfies, he acquiesces to Aaron. So talk about a first day in the office. Talk about a hard day for Aaron. Boy, oh boy, now you understand Vayehi Bayom HaShmini. It is a challenging day. There is a subplot taking place. Of course, it's a day of Natal Asara Ataros. It's a day of joy for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for the world. But Aaron himself, carefully, throughout Prakim Tes and Yud, throughout Parsha Shmini, up until the end of the day, from early in the morning to late at night, every single aspect of the day, Aaron is challenged. He's scared to approach the Mizbeach. He enters and then the Shekhinah doesn't rest. His sons, Nadav and Avihu, are taken or killed. He engages in a very, very heated debate with his brother Moshe, who challenges him with the way that he's offering. How does he manage? How does he go through it? And this is the subplot that I bring to your attention. But I like to point out a few more things that I think are critical to be aware of and what we can learn from Aaron in his first day in office. Take a look, and it's quite amazing, I believe, how Aaron reacts differently to each challenge he's faced with. And I think this speaks to challenges each of us are faced with. Every situation requires a different response. We can't react the same way to everything that takes place in our lives. Take a look. Aaron HaKohen is frightened. He's scared to approach the Mizbeach. Aaron HaKohen recognizes that it maybe because of him that the Shechina is not being Yored. He offered the Korban, he offered the Chatas, the Shlamim, the Ola. What do? Aaron says, you know what? I'm going to ask for help. Sometimes in a situation of challenge, of difficulty, of struggle, you know what you got to do? You got to ask for help. And Aaron is willing to ask his brother for help. Moshe, Achi, Ulai, Bishvili, Rashi says, that it's because of me that the Shechina is not being Yored. Nichnasti, Nisbayashti, I'm so embarrassed. Help me, my dear brother. Please. What do? I know it's my day. I know I'm the president. I know I'm in the office of the Kohen Gadol. I know everybody's looking at me. But maybe I've done something wrong. I need some help. Please help me. Help walk me. Walk me to the Mizbeach. Krav el Mizbeach. Moshe Benu, take my hand. Walk me. Get me to the podium. Allow me just to start speaking. Please help me. So that's one reaction that Aaron has. And it's one reaction in a difficult situation. And a challenge is to learn how to ask for help, because it's not easy to ask for help. It's the last thing we like to do, because we're all brave, we're strong. We want to be able to accomplish, to do on our own. It's hard to ask somebody for help. It's hard to ask for a ride. It's hard to ask for a meal. It's hard to, for whatever the situation is. It's hard. But sometimes we have to be brave and strong and say, I need help. And that's what you see, Aaron. But then there's a second reaction. Aaron's sons are taken. Aaron's sons are taken. He loses his two boys, the future. Aaron is scared. But Aaron doesn't do anything but Vayidom Aaron. He's quiet there. And sometimes in challenging situations, we have to just accept. We have to accept. There's some level of acceptance. Now, acceptance doesn't mean that I can't cry. Acceptance doesn't mean that I can't ask questions. Acceptance doesn't mean that I just have my hands up. But acceptance means I get it. Cognitively, emotionally, mentally, I'm able to understand. Vayidom Aaron teaches us that sometimes in difficult situations, I can't always ask for help. But there's certain situations where part of the avoda is going to be that I need to help. I need to figure this one out. This is my job. This is my responsibility. Somebody could help me get to the Mizbeach, but once I'm at the Mizbeach, it's up to me. And that's, Aaron teaches us that certain situations and certain challenges, difficulties, tribulations that exist, it's vayidom, there's silence, there's acceptance, there's the maror, there's the ability to say, yeah, it's hard, it's difficult, but I'm going to swallow it, I'm going to eat it, I'm even going to make a bracha, asher kiddushar mitzos v'tzivano, al achilas maror. It's hard, it's difficult, it's painful. But then there's a third reaction. And this is when Moshe, his brother, presents him with a challenge. And this to me is the most startling of the day. Here it is. Aaron has exhibited extraordinary need for help, has to a certain extent just followed exactly what he's supposed to do to a T. We haven't necessarily seen Aaron veer or speak out or do something different. And all of a sudden, his brother who's helped him today reached the point and the place where Klal Yisrael need to be, where the Hashchina has to be Shoreh, and Moshe challenges him. How would you think Aaron would react after such a long day when he needs his brother's help so much? You would imagine that Aaron would acquiesce, would be subordinate, would simply listen to his brother Moshe, and whatever my brother says, that's what I'll do. But Aaron reacts just the opposite. Pum fakert. Aaron speaks back. Vayidaber. He speaks very passionately, strongly to his brother Moshe. He's not simply going to step back,
but he's going to stand strong. Vayedaber Aaron el Moshe. He speaks powerfully. Ein lashon vayedaber lashon oz. Aaron speaks with force, with power. And he tells his brother, maybe you misunderstood. Maybe you misheard, my dear brother Moshe, what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. And therefore, as a result, Aaron speaks with force, with intensity, with integrity, and looks and turns to his brother Moshe and says, no, 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 you got it all wrong. And again, you see sometimes in challenging situations, the answer is not to ask for help. The answer is not silence, but the answer is to speak up and to be strong, to walk and to talk and to be a lion and to be fierce and to be strong. And yes, maybe every situation requires different reactions, but maybe even certain situations require different responses on different days or at different times. There's shachris, there's mincha, there's ma'ariv. There are different reactions. Maybe it's silence, maybe it's acceptance. Maybe it's I need help, maybe I'm going to speak back and I'm going to tell you I think different than you. You want to help me? You want to give me a ride? No, 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 I'm going to drive myself. There are different responses, there are different reactions. And this is what Aaron shows us. But I think it's even one step deeper. If you take a look at each of the challenges that Aaron is faced with, they speak to three different epochs. In the first challenge that Aaron is faced with, when he is seeing the Mizbeach and he's looking and staring at the Egel, he's almost paralyzed by his past. He remembers what he did. So many people are paralyzed by their past, by mistakes they made, by errors they committed, by sins they did, that they're unable to move forward. Aaron too is paralyzed by his past. It's an emotional challenge that he faces at his first day of the job. I have to serve Hashem. I'm going to enter the Omod. Me? How could I do that? I'm the one who is involved maybe in the Egel, as the Ramban says. And sometimes when you're challenged by your past, by events that unfolded in the past, a person needs to ask for help. Help me get through this. Help work this through. Help talk me through this. Help explain this to me. And therefore, it's dafka in those situations that he looks to his brother Moshe. And Moshe says to him, Krav el Mizbeach, come with me, you could do it. I'm here, I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to get through this together. Don't allow your past to define you. Don't allow the mistakes, the challenges, the difficulties, the struggles that you've had stop you from performing and being the Kohen Gadol. Forget it. Let's work this through. And Moshe holds his hand, brings him to the Mizbeach, and enters with him into the Olmoid, and then Baruch Hashem, the Shechina is Yored. So it's the past that challenges, that sort of puts Aaron into such a frenzy, and almost paralyzes him from his inability to move forward. The death of his two sons, Aaron, is just the opposite. It's not that he's paralyzed by his past, but now he says, what's with my future? Nadav and Avihu, it's my potential, it's my offspring, it's my seed. It's the continuity of the kahuna that's being taken away from me. My two sons, Nadav and Avihu, were just taken on this very day, on Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, the happiest, most joyous, most important day, when I'm filling and the void of the office of the Kohen Gadol. And now my two sons are being taken away? It can't be. My whole future is going to be lost. And when those situations occur, it's vayidom. It's acceptance. Don't try to figure out your future today. Stop. The future is in the future. When a challenge occurs, don't ask and don't question what's going to be down the line. What's going to be with my offspring? What's going to be with my seed? What's going to be with the office of the Kohen Gadol? It's vayidom, it's silence. Because you don't define your future. You can only deal with the here and now. And that's what happens next. When his brother Moshe faces him, and a face-off as to what to do now, you know what you do, Behoveh? You stand up, and you talk, and you work things out. And that's what Aaron does. When he's challenged by his past, he needs help, Moshe helps him. When he's challenged by his future, it's Vayidom. And in the here and now, in the Hoveh, where a person can do, the past is the past. The future is the future. Here's where I could work, here's where I can do. Vayedaber Aaron el Moshe. Aaron stands, he talks, he's able to speak to his brother with passion, with significant words, and finally Moshe Rabbeinu stands back, and Moshe Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enav. So here it is, on this very day, the day that the Gemara tells us, and that the Torah tells us, in multiple parshios, not just in Shmini, but in Pekudei, and in Naso,
the significance of this day. This is the subplot that I'm bringing out that takes place in Parsha Shmini, Prakim, Tes, and Yud. And what's most amazing to me is Aaron's ability to be able to silently and carefully walk through the day without any of us knowing this. We have to figure out the story. Aaron is such a big man. He's such a big person that all of these challenges don't allow it to redefine the day. It doesn't change the ecstasy, the joy, the simcha of Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. We know there's something happening. We know there's something fishy because the word Vayhi, that's how the parsha begins. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah Daf Yomer Beis. Vayhi is there's something ominous. There's some portending of danger, of loom, of gloom, of gray on that day. But Aaron HaKohen is careful. Vayidom Aaron. I'll ask for help, Moshe. I'll speak up to you, Moshe. But Aaron doesn't share any of this. We go through the day and it's a joyous, happy day. Ki yom shenivru bo shemayim aretz. And certainly this speaks to us and how we are supposed to and are challenged in times of joy not to allow a difficulty to mar the simcha. And of course, that is a challenge. And at the same time, to be able to react when things are difficult in the appropriate fashion. And of course, this is an avodah kasha shebemikdash. This is no easy task, but certainly something that we learn from Aaron, something that we see Aaron accomplished. And here it is, Bezus Hashem, as we post Pesach, as we move forward and full circle, as we began with Nisan, and now we close with Nisan. We shouldn't leave Nisan depressed that the Mishkan and that the Mikdash wasn't built. But we should recognize that seeds are being planted and that things are happening even though we don't see them. Even though tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Iyar and we still have not yet seen Binyan, Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, we should recognize that even things that we can't see are happening, roots are being developed, the seeds for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi are taking root, and we should all be zochet to see it, Bezras Hashem. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, Shavuot Tov, Gervach, and a good, good Chodesh.